Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and do our message. You can just lay your books aside, or we can pick, just set them down for a minute or two. So today we're going to look at, since this coming Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, better known as Easter, most people say, but I like to call it Resurrection Sunday because that's the thing that happened, right? That Jesus rose from that grave. And so today I'm going to be in Romans like I have been, but today I'm just going to kind of backpedal a little bit to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to just talk about verses 14 through 17 for just a few minutes. And I want to go ahead and read those for you, and then we'll go from there. All righty. He says, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what Paul begins to do here in this section of Scripture, after he's still talking about the book and he's introducing the book, and really the verses at verse 16 is really the theme of the whole book, that the gospel is the, verse 17, excuse me, the righteousness from God is being revealed from faith to faith. And remember that word, from faith to faith, or the just shall live by faith, this is in the Bible four different times, right? And if God says something once, it's important, right? But what he wants to tell us here in this section, we want to talk a little bit about some of the things that have to do with the resurrection. I was listening to a guy earlier this week, and he was telling us about four proofs for the resurrection, and he said that there was no dispute among all the scholars that Jesus was dead. That even the American Medical Association, reading the scripture and looking at all the evidence with the blood and the water flowing out of his heart and his side, that they said he was absolutely dead. And then they point to the early reports of the resurrection and all of the people that said that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, because 1 Corinthians 15 says that there were over 500 people at one time saw Jesus after he was resurrected from the grave. But literally there were all these people that saw Jesus after he was resurrected. And then they thirdly talked about the empty tomb. That you can go anywhere, you can go to Muhammad's tomb, you can go to Buddha's tomb, you can go to all these people's tomb that supposedly started all these religions. And guess what? They're still there. Their tombs are not empty. But the only tomb that's empty is the tomb of Jesus Christ. And so even the opponents of Jesus conceded that the tomb was empty. And then the last thing was all these historical evidences. And you know, there was even a guy named Josephus that was not a Christian, but he was a historical writer. And he talked about the evidence of how these apostles, after Jesus had died and supposedly risen from the grave, of course he didn't know at that time, but he's saying there was so much difference in them. And that's kind of what I really want to focus on a little bit today is Paul right here. Paul was one of the biggest persecutors of Christianity. Remember, he was killing Christians, he was doing all these things, and he was going around, and they were even laid their clothes down at the feet of Saul as they stoned Stephen, right? And so he's one of the biggest opponents of Christianity, but God gets hold of him on the Damascus Road, and and he becomes the greatest proponent for Jesus Christ. Instead of his opponent, he becomes the leading guy who, after chapter 12, I think it is, Peter virtually disappears off the scene, and you don't really hear about Peter much anymore, but all you hear about is Paul, and he becomes the greatest, I believe, Christian who's ever lived and probably ever will live. But this is the apostle Paul, and he writes this, and he just says three statements, and I just wanted to kind of, he has three I am statements. He says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and the Jews. And then he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. And then he says, I'm not ashamed. And then I just want to focus on those a minute, and then we're going to move through the rest of it. But he says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the Jews. He says, to the wise and the unwise. And basically, what is he saying there? He says, I'm a debtor to everybody to share with me what Jesus Christ did for me. He says, because Jesus paid a debt that I could never repay. You know, we don't sing the song, Jesus paid some of it. We don't sing the song that he paid most of it. But we sing the song that says, Jesus paid it all. And that's what our Bible says, right? He says that Jesus paid for every single sin of every single person who's ever lived and ever will live and ever has lived. And that there's no other way to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. And so the greatest proof of the resurrection is this biblical evidence. I've told some folks the other day that if we can't believe this Bible where it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, we may as well just throw away the rest of the Bible. If the first sentence in the Bible is not true, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the rest of it's just junk too, right? But a lot of people want to fight for that because they know if they can discount that very first verse in the Bible, they can throw the rest of it away. And so Paul says, I'm a debtor to everybody else. I know I owe Jesus a debt that I could never repay, and because I owe him such a great debt, I'm indebted to go tell everybody else about what Jesus did for me. And you know that's true for us too, folks. It's true for us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then he says, so as much as is in me, as much as is in me. Now this is the guy that was shipwrecked 3 times in the sea a day and a night. He was beaten with rods three times and with the cat of nine tails, basically the stripes 5 times, which a lot of people died from that. Most people died from that. He was stoned once, left for dead. He was all these things. If you ever want to find out what all Paul went through, go read 2 Corinthians 11. You know, Paul didn't have an easy life, did he? And he went through a lot of hard times, and he didn't do it for something that was just a lie. He went through it because he knew it was true. And you know, that's one of the evidences I think that's really true. If you were going to die for something, I don't think you'd die for a lie, right? I mean, if you were lying about something, somebody said they were going to stick you in jail, or they were going to lock you up, or ultimately they were going to kill you, what would you do before they killed you? You'd say, I was lying. I wasn't telling the truth. And at that point, they might not believe you, but you would say, I was lying. But every one of these apostles, except for the apostle John, died for their faith. They died saying that Jesus was the Christ, that he was God in human flesh. He came and lived a perfect sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day, right? And they died for that, except for the apostle John. And the story goes that they tried to boil him. They boiled him in oil, but he wouldn't die. And so they exiled him to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. And God wasn't through with him yet, so you can't kill him if he's not through with you. Just like Paul, when they stoned him that day, they couldn't kill him because God wasn't through with him yet. I heard one man, he broke this down, and I guess he said it was in the front of his Bible, and I wrote it in front of one of my Bibles I had a long time that said God's man, and that you could translate that, God's man or woman is invincible till God's through with him. And when God gets through with you, he'll take you home. But until then, he's got a plan for you. He's got a reason for you to be here. And some people stay here longer because maybe they need to know the Lord. And then some people, they need to share what God's done for them. And you know, sometimes we feel like we don't have a purpose, but until God takes us home, if we know the Lord, our purpose is to tell others about Jesus. Amen. And so Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And remember, the gospel is that 1 Corinthians 15 says that he delivered, first of all, that Jesus died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's the good news, folks, that Jesus paid it all. And then he says here, to you who are in Rome also. And going back to this danger theme, think about this. You know, in the wickedness of Rome, I mean, I was trying to remember last night about all the wicked cities. You know, there's plenty of wicked cities, and Savannah's one of them. But because it's a port city, it's always been wicked. Rome was like Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Washington, D.C., and New Orleans all wrapped into one. It was a wicked place. And you know, folks, he was ready to go preach the gospel. He didn't care if he lost his life preaching the gospel, because he knew that it was true and it was worth it all. As the verse says in Romans 8:18, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus, right? That the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we'll have in heaven one day. And then he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, it's the gospel of Christ. It's the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, folks. He says, I'm not ashamed of it. You know, many times we don't want to tell others about Jesus, what he did for us. But over here in America right now, about all they can do to us is laugh at us or spit on us or ignore us or talk bad about us. But you know, in other parts of the world, they're killing people.
Yes, they are.
And if we don't start speaking up, they're going to begin to do that over here to us, start locking us up and killing us. They're already starting to lock people up for it. But they're going to be doing all of these things. And now we got all these young kids that don't know the Word of God. They've never been taught it. And now they're out there fighting for all kinds of crazy stuff, and they don't know their head from a hole in the ground because they don't know anything about Jesus Christ. And it's sad. So many of these folks today just don't know about the Lord because they never have been taught about it. And so he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ, right? It's Christ's gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. And he says, for it, what is the it? The gospel is the power of God to salvation for who? For everyone who believes. Everyone, folks. Not just some people. Not just for a select group of people. But for everyone who believes. Now notice it doesn't say whoever behaves or whoever's baptized or whoever takes communion or whoever does good works or whoever joins the church or whoever does this or doesn't do that or whatever you might say. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm a pretty good person. And I tell folks all the time, I thought I was a pretty good person. You know, I was raised and I thought I was a pretty good fella. And then one day I realized as I went to church, the Lord showed me that I needed a Savior. And you know what? You might be a pretty good person in the eyes of all of us around here. And maybe you're a pretty good person and you've lived a pretty good life as far as what humankind says. But remember, the standard is not what I think or what you think or anybody else thinks. The standard is that Jesus said, be holy as I'm holy. He said, be perfect as I am perfect. And James says, as if you've broken one law, you've broken them all. He says, him that knows to do good doesn't do it, it's sin. I mean, sometimes we've known that we should have helped somebody or said something or done something and we didn't do it. The Bible says that's sin. There's sins of omission. We didn't do something. We should have helped somebody. We should have spoke to somebody. We should have encouraged somebody. We should have helped them get out of that chair and God convicted us to do it, but we didn't do it. That was sin. And then there's sins of commission. We do wrong things, right? And one guy, I heard him speak to his congregation. He says, anybody in here ever lied once? Just once. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I guarantee you every one of us is in here has lied at least once. And any of us stole at least once? Yeah. Anybody ever cheated or anything like that? And when he got through, he says, and the rest of you didn't didn't raise your hands, y'all a bunch of liars too, you know. But then he come back and he says, listen, and the ones that raise their hand, he says, so basically what we got here is a congregation full of liars and thieves, huh? So that's what, you know, but if we've ever done anything wrong one time, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. That's the bad news. But that's the reason Jesus came, is because he wanted to bring the gospel and to show us the way that we didn't have to stay that way, right? We don't have to stay lost. We don't have to continue to be lost and headed to hell. He tells us over in, I think it's Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And he says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. In other words, if you want to go to heaven by keeping the law, guess what? You got to keep it perfectly. I was reading this morning in chapter 19. I guess, you know, there are no coincidences. But I was reading in chapter 11 this morning about the young man that came to Jesus. He said, good teacher, how shall I get to heaven? And he says, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And that's God, one but God. And he says, he wasn't saying he wasn't God. He was saying, look, do you realize I'm God? And that's the only reason I'm good. And then he says, well, how do I get into heaven? And he says, keep the law and the commandments, honor father and mother. And he goes through the commandments and love thy neighbor as yourself. And the young man says, well, I've done all that. Had he? Not perfectly. But yet he said he did. And Jesus says, one thing that I'll say to you, go and sell all you have and give it away. And the man went away sad because he had many possessions. See, he broke the one commandment that was the chief of all. Thou shalt not covet. That's the command that really encompasses all the other nine commands, folks. Because the reason we don't give God all the glory, the reason we don't honor him, the reason we do the things that we do and don't do what we ought to do is because, guess what, folks? We want it for ourselves. And we don't want to give it to somebody else. But Galatians chapter 2, I was trying to find the exact verse, but I can't find it right this minute. But basically he says that in chapter 2, he says that, you know what, folks? He says that if we could get to heaven by doing some kind of good work, anything we could do, then Christ died in vain. Did you know that? Christ died in vain is what he says. If we could get to heaven by works, then you know what? Christ could have stayed in heaven. And you know what, folks? That's the truth. And you know what? That's why Jesus came. If we could do something, anything, to get to heaven, Jesus could have just stayed in heaven. But he didn't. He came and he lived a perfect, sinless life, and he died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. See, the reason he says the gospel's for everyone who believes. And then he says, for in it, in what? The gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, God shows his righteousness in the fact that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, right? The Bible says that the soul that sins shall die. But over and over again, it tells us if we have sinned, we're not going to make it into heaven. And that's the bad news. But the good news is that God showed himself to be righteous in that he sent Jesus as a Savior to make a way for us to go to heaven, right? And that was what it was all about. I told that story before about that if I was guilty of going and robbing the bank or something like that, and the judge could give me a pardon, you know, or the governor could give me a pardon. Well, he could give me a pardon, but you know what? I was still guilty, and nobody paid for my crime. But, you know, y'all seen the signs on the side of the buses that say, if you do the crime, you do what? You do the time, right? So you do the time. And you know what, folks? We did the crime, but you know what? Jesus did the time. Those 3 hours when it was dark on the cross, guess what he was doing when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that particular time, it says in Isaiah 53, it says, it pleased God to bruise him, that by his stripes we are healed. And at that moment, Jesus was suffering the wrath of God. And at that moment, he was paying for the sins of everybody who's ever lived, ever has lived, ever will live. And he paid for those sins. And right before he died, he said, "It is finished." And that's a word that means paid in full. And y'all remember the old stamps that they used to use. And they stamp those things and go, "Paid in full," right? With that old rubber ink stamp. You know, y'all remember that. I remember that. But today we get a receipt back and it says balance zero, right? You know, down at the bottom it says all these things. It says $43.84. And then it shows paid with a credit card or whatever. Down at the bottom it says balance zero, right?
Yes.
And you know what, folks? That's what Jesus said. He said, "If you put your trust in me to forgive you of your sins, to pay for your sins, to take you to heaven, and not trust in good works or baptism or communion or church membership or I'm a pretty good person or I hadn't done this and I hadn't done that and I've done more good than bad." You know, I grew up believing that. You know, that you, and most of us are taught that. That we grow up thinking, you know, well, I'm a pretty good fella and one day I'm going to join the church, get married, join the church, have a few kids, and then I'm going to get married and have some kids, and I'm going to live happily ever after, and one day I'll just die and go to heaven. And that's the lie we've been sold. But that's not the way it happens. You have to put your trust in Jesus Christ. You have to do something. That's why he says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, it's just sheer faith. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to put your trust in that. And that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus that day in chapter 3 of John. He said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Has, not will have, but has eternal life."
That's right.
He says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to keep us from having fun. He came to save us and give us life and life abundantly and joy and peace and all of those things. That's why he came. And he came most of all to be glorified because he did it all. And so he paid for my crime. He paid for my sins. He did the time when he was on that cross, and right before he died, he said, "It is finished." He didn't pay 99%. He didn't pay 99.99999, and he left 0.1% for me to do. He paid 100%. And that's why we have to put our trust in him. That's why it says it's from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. And the Bible says, folks, you know, right there in that John 3:16, that's what I wanted to go back to. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever what? Believes in him." So what God told Nicodemus that day as Jesus spoke, and Jesus was God, but he was speaking the words to tell him that this was God's plan. That if you would put your trust in what God said, what is faith? Y'all all had faith today. Y'all sat in that chair, or you ate that food, or you drank that drink, or you know, whatever it was, maybe you took that pill that you had to take or something, and you did all of those things today trusting that it was going to do what it was supposed to do, right? That's what we call faith. And faith in the Bible is God said it and I believe it. Faith in the Bible is a little bit more than that. I'll get to that in a minute. But faith means that God said whoever believes in him, believes what? Believes that Jesus is God, that he came and lived a perfect sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. To focus on that coming up out of the grave after the third day, Romans chapter 3, I believe it is over there, chapter 2, he says, maybe it's chapter 3 at the end of the chapter, he says that he was died for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. I can't find my verses today. But what he says is, look, folks, the reason Jesus died was for our sins, but if he had stayed in the grave, it would have proved that God was not satisfied with his sacrifice. But when he raised him from the grave, He proved that Jesus had conquered the grave, that he had done everything that was necessary for you and I and anybody else who wanted to go to heaven, who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and return from their sins, that they could be saved. And that was the whole point of it. And so God says, you know, it's like I said, you know, you get some kind of new something. I don't know what it is. Maybe you get a new chair or something. You got to put it together. You don't just put it together any way you want to, do you? You got to, well, us guys do a lot of times, but, you know, but at least I do, you know, that if I can't figure it out, I get my wife to help me with the instructions. But a lot of times, you know, but if you put it together and you don't use it according to the way the maker made it, it doesn't work right, right? And it's the same way with God. He gave us the instruction book, the Bible, and he says, this is the way it is. I made you. I did all this, and you've got to take me at my word. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to turn from your sins. The word turn means to repent. And repent means you're going that way, and then all of a sudden you turn around and go the other direction. You know, you turn from your sins. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, they turn to God from dead idols. In other words, anything in this world that we hold is more dear and important than God is an idol. You know, our kids or our grandkids or our great-grandkids or whatever you got, you know, those could be idols, right? You know, family, whatever. You know, whatever can be idol. The Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the number one commandment. None of us do that perfectly, that's for sure. But, folks, to repent means you realize you're going the wrong way and you turn around. Not like me and some of these men. Well, I don't do this because I know I get lost. You know, a lot of men, they won't turn around when they get lost. They say, I know where I'm going. And 3 hours later, they still lost, right? Well, guess what, folks? A lot of us in this world, we know we're headed the wrong direction. But yet, we won't turn around and turn back to God and ask God to forgive us and save us and change us. Because we think that we're good enough. We think that we're going to get there on our own. We think that somehow, some way, all this may be not true, or it's just for other people, or it's not real, or whatever it is. I don't know what people think. People come up with all kinds of reasons not to believe the Bible. We talked to a guy the other day, and he said, well, you went from one extreme to the other. You went from being a down and outer to a, you know, I guess I'm a fanatic now because I preach Jesus, you know. But listen, folks, the Bible's true. God saved me, and he can save you if he hasn't. So today, right where you're at, if you've never trusted Christ, you need to ask God to forgive you. You need to ask God to save you. You need to turn from your sins and ask God to forgive you and save you. And you know what? God will forgive you, and God will save you. And you know what? One day, when you pass it out of this world, you will make it to heaven. But you know what? If you haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never make it to heaven, folks, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. So I will just wanted to ask you right where you're at. Just do business with God. If you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Just quietly in your heart, you can just say, God, forgive me. God, save me. And if that's the cry of your heart, God will forgive you and God will save you. You know, years ago, I was sitting in a church and I heard the preacher preach that. And I just, in my heart, I said, you know what? That's what I need. And you know what? When I said that day, in my heart, you know what? God forgave me and saved me. I didn't even realize it at the time, but that was the cry of my heart. And I said, oh, God, I need that because on my own, I'm not going to make it. And I hope you realize that's true. You might live through this life. You might do lots of good things, might have done lots of good things, and you might continue to do good things. But it'll be sad one day if you depart from this world and you get to the other side and God says, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't want that for anybody. That's one of the main reasons we come here, because we know so many times people have grown up and been in churches that kind of teach, well, if you're a pretty good person, it's all right. or Jesus just came to show us the way, or Jesus, whatever, I don't know what they teach, but he was the ultimate example, right? But that's not true. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, folks. And if you don't understand, if you're not sure, if you'd love, want us to talk to you, pray with you, or anything else at the end of the time, we'd be glad to sit down and talk with you and share with you. But the Bible says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, if you do not believe that I am he, that I'm God in human flesh, you will perish in your sins. The bad news is we've all sinned. The good news is you don't have to go to hell, but you can trust Christ and go to heaven because Jesus paid it all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these folks here, Lord. And we just pray if there's even one today that has not truly trusted you, they're dependent on something else to get them into heaven. Today would be the first day of the rest of their life, and they would just cry out and ask you to save them. And they would turn from their sins and realize that on their own, they're not perfect. They're not going to ever be able to make it on their own. But they need you. And they would, by faith, say, I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. And they would take you at your word. And you said, whoever calls on your name shall be saved. You said, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is God and you have raised him, he's been raised from the grave, then we shall be saved. For with the mouth we confess unto righteousness, and with the heart we believe unto salvation. Do that today, Lord, and for the rest of us that already know you. Help us just to continue to let our light shine and not hide it, and our salt not lose its flavor. And let us go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, making disciples and baptizing them in your name. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned Jesus paid it all so many times. Why don't we sing number 77, Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Out of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Paid it all.